recorded live.
Amen. All right, we are ready to get started with our teaching on tonight. Amen. And we're going to be looking in the Word of God, and we're going to be looking at 2 Peter chapter 2, and we're going to look at verse 1, and then we're going to go down and look at a couple of other verses, and then we're going to be looking at our text. All right, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 says, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false prophets among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction." Amen. And I want to skip down and read at verse 12, and it says, "But these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings, while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, on hearts that have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb ass, speaking with man's voice, forbade the madness of the prophet." Amen. And I'm going to stop there, and then we're going to look in our book and begin our teaching on tonight on merchandising the anointing. And this part of the message, the Lord has given it to me, amen, because we have a lot of people who call themselves prophets, but, you know, they are really not concerned about what it is that God has really called them to do as prophets. And not just prophets, but you have evangelists and other people who are involved in ministry, and they really feel like that ministry is supposed to be the thing that paves the way for them to pay all their bills, for them to live the high life, and all those things. And so this you know, part of our class, and I left it for last because I feel like that this is like the icing on the cake of our development as leaders, as prophetic people, and as a people that want to carry the word of God, that you have to know that what the Lord has given you is precious. And not only that, you have to be able to understand that it is the Lord that has called you. And there are certain principles that you have to be able to govern yourself by and allow yourself to be carried. You know, you have to carry yourself in such a way that you cannot be bought. The problem with Balaam and merchandising the anointing is the fact that this is the age of a people that can be bought if the price is right. And that's what the problem is. You cannot be God's man or God's woman when you have not really sold out to him and allowed him to be the one that makes the way for you. The Bible tells us that the just shall live by his faith. And because of the fact that we sat back and we watched, you know, these great speakers from colleges and universities charging honorariums and different things of that nature, you know, the church began to pick up that practice. Now, it's nothing wrong with you being blessed or a church blessing you because, you know what I'm saying, you go and you labor. But at the same time, there's a problem when you feel like you can't go to a place if they don't pay your price. And so that's what this, you know, that's what this section of the class is about. It's talking about really having, you know, character and having integrity as a leader, that you will understand that God has charged you to deliver this message, and you don't have time to be worried about whether or not somebody's going to pay you. You don't have time to be worried about whether or not the offering is going to be right. You know what I'm saying? The only thing you need to worry about is, can you get there and can you get back, and most of all, can you deliver the message? And it is so important that we be able to walk with integrity, because for too long we have had people who have fleeced God's people, have raked them over the coals, have, you know what I'm saying, charged them exorbitant amounts of money to be able to come and preach, and then when they leave, the people are no better off than they were before the people got there, before the speakers got there. And so we have to understand that it's wonderful for us to flow in the gifts. It's wonderful for us to be gifted as prophets and apostles and leaders. But do you have integrity as it relates to your dealings financially? And is it that you will go to the highest bidder? All right, so looking at our book, before we actually read the book, I want to give you a definition. When we start talking about merchandising the anointing, and you'll see that this is the last section in your book, to merchandise something means that you put it, you make a plan to promote it and to sell it, okay? And so what has happened in the church, we have had a great number of people who have promoted and have, you know, they have made plans to promote and to sell the anointing of God that is on their life. And really, it's the same spirit that was on Esau who sold his birthright for a morsel of bread. It is the same spirit. And so we have, you know, God has to be able to deal with our hearts. And we have to be so open to him that we understand that even more important than us receiving any offering, more important than somebody stroking us and riding us in a limousine or putting us up in a four-star hotel, the most important thing is delivering the message that Jesus has given you to deliver to the people of God. Because this is about souls. This is about winning people so that their lives are not lost, so that their souls are not lost, so that people are healed, delivered, and set free. And if all we got is an honorarium and a good feeling because our pockets got fat, we have not done what God has set us in this earth to do. And we do God, and we do the Holy Spirit, and we do the people of God a great disservice by not really being genuine in our practices as we go from place to place, you know what I'm saying, to deliver a message. All right, so now we're going to look at our book. All right, and it says, in this age of growing compromise, we are seeing a great onslaught of Christian leaders for hire. It is a sad report for Christendom that when searching for men and women of integrity and honor, the chances of finding them are few and far between. I read a book once with the above title, and it startled me because the writer was so far ahead of his time. It caused me to know that this was not just some book, but it was a prophetic epistle to the nations of the present and coming state of the church. And that's really what happened. I began to read, and I was studying, and I got my hands on a book called Merchandising the Anointing. I would recommend that to any of you reading, you know, if you love to read, and even if you don't love to read, you need to get that book. You need to see that this is not a new practice, amen, and you need to see in light of God's word, what does God say about this gift that you have received, and what is his charge to you, the believer, the one who is bearing. What is God's charge to you, and what is it that you are responsible for being the one that's carrying these gifts? And you got to understand that, you know, tells us that when Jesus comes, he is coming. He said, behold, my reward is with me. He said, I come quickly, and my reward is with me. You got to understand that if all you're doing this for is for an offering, then you got your reward. Don't go to heaven looking for God to bless you with a mansion and jewels in your crown, because you have already received your reward here. Paul said, I desire to come unto you that I might leave with you some spiritual gift. We have people who are charging $5,000, $10,000 to come to somebody's church and preach, you know what I'm saying? And then when they leave, people are not delivered. They don't halfway do altar calls, you know what I'm saying? And I know of one speaker in particular who sings songs. You know, he makes CDs and all the rest of that, and he's a pastor. And I was, you know, my husband actually went to the service that he was preaching. He was here in the Fayetteville area a few years ago, and he came in, and he's going to tell the people after he finished preaching that the Lord spoke to him and told him don't do altar calls no more, that he didn't feel led to do altar calls because the Lord told him not to do no altar calls. He said the Lord told him to do a money line instead of an altar call. That is a lying spirit from the pit of hell, and his words smell like smoke. We got to understand that that is not the will of God. We got to understand that the Lord is charging us to walk in integrity. Since when is a dollar more important than winning souls for the kingdom of God? Since when is it that God would tell you not to open up an invitation for souls to come so that people could be saved? That's the whole reason why we go from one place to another. This is what ministry is supposed to be about. It's supposed to be about souls, turning people's hearts back to God, not trying to see how much offering we can get. And so this, you know, is a warning to all of us that, yes, you are in ministry, but you got to understand there's so much out there that is tempting. Yes, it looks good. I'm sure it tastes good. I'm sure, you know, even sleeping in a 4-star hotel feels wonderful, and it's great to have all those perks. But you better know that you know that you know that if a church that only has 2 members calls you on the phone and says, listen, we need help, we need the word, you better be willing to go because God is the one who has saved you. God is the one who has anointed you. God is the one who has put his spirit in you to do this work. And the gifts that you have received are not yours. They belong to him. So don't, you know, let's not, you know, get the big head. Because God might have used us once or twice in a service, or because we prophesied a right-on word and somebody got delivered. Let's remember this thing is about giving God glory. Amen. All right, so to see how this message resonates, let us look at God's word. Now, we just finished reading in 2 Peter, and let's look at verse 1 again in chapter 2. But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. In order to get a full understanding of what is being said here, we must do word studies. And also, reading the previous chapter, of course, is going to be of great help. When dealing with this spirit that is so prevalent today, there are a few things to bear in mind. Number one, false ministry usually follows behind true ministry. Anytime you see a real ministry going forth, you better believe there's a counterfeit somewhere waiting in the wings. It is so like Satan to try to, you know, to copy and imitate what God is doing. So that's one of the things you need to bear in mind. The second thing is you must take precautions to ensure that you do not fall prey to the spirit. You got to make sure. I don't care what they're telling you they're going to pay you. I don't care who tells you how much you are worth. I don't care who tells you, girl, you are wonderful. You mean to tell me you just going to go down there and they just going to give you $100 in an offering? I wouldn't go. Well, I'm glad that you wouldn't go. That's you and me, two different people. You got to know what God has charged you to do. You have to have an understanding of what it is that the Lord is leading you and calling you to do. And that is to walk in integrity. It is not about the numbers. It's about the soul. So if God sends you 5 states away and you get there and one person gets saved and that's the only person you got a response out of while you was away, that's all right. You did the will of God. And we gotta be so that we are content with the will of God. All right, number 3, Satan always tries to duplicate what God is doing. That's self-explanatory. Number 4, most false ministers usually began in the truth. If you just take a look at where some of these leaders that we look at on television, and they're not all wrong, because we have a lot of them that are preaching the truth. You know what I'm saying? And some of them are sincere. Some of them are sincerely wrong. you know, but nevertheless, you have some that are really sincere and mean well, you know what I'm saying? But at the same time, you have some who have fallen so far away and departed so far from the truth that they don't even understand that they're operating in deception. And so you have to look at how in the beginning, you know, it's all right for you to start strong, but and anybody can do that. But God is looking for a people that finish strong. God is looking for a people that he can trust. Can God trust you with the gift that he has imparted in you? Can he trust you that you're not going to get out there and promote and sell your gift to the highest bidder? Can God trust you? That's the question you got to ask. You know, and you got some people who will get mad. Girl, I ain't going back to that church. And I heard people say this. I ain't going back to that church. They must be crazy. That offering wasn't even right. I put more money in the offering than they gave me for a love offering. Well, what were you there for? What were you there for? What is it that you feel? Why do you feel like, you know, and a lot of times you got people who feel like, you know, God is going to put them on TBN or they're going to be on the Word Network. And I was talking to this brother one time, and he's a pastor, and that was his goal. That's his ambition. His ambition is to do everything he can in order to hasten that day when he's on TBN and the Word Network. That is not the pinnacle of success. The pinnacle of success is when people are being delivered, and you are loving God and walking in obedience. Amen, and you're not a false teacher, and you are doing what God has called you to do, and people's lives are being transformed as a result. That is success. But for some reason, we have begun to measure success by numbers, by finances, you know what I'm saying? And even the Bible tells us gain is not godliness. So you can go somewhere, and somebody can make your pockets fat. Somebody could, you know, put money in your hand and all the rest of that stuff, and you still, you know what I'm saying, haven't impacted the lives of the people. How important is your message? You know what I'm saying? And if your message is that important, you're going to be willing to go anywhere you got to go at any cost, even if that means that you got to pay for it yourself. Because when God is giving you a word, you will be anxious about getting that word out. You know what I'm saying? And I use the term anxious very loosely, so I don't mean like, you know, that you're tripping about it. But I mean that you, amen, that is your goal, is that you got to, somebody got to hear this message. God, you're giving his word, and I got to share this word because somebody needs deliverance. Somebody needs healing. And so that has to be our focus, okay? Another thing that you must also bear in mind is that you are not exempt from error. None of us are super Christians. We must consider ourselves when we are looking at those in error. Now, that doesn't mean that you are to spare the message because of fear or because you might think that others are going to get angry with you. You as a prophet of God or as an apostle, as a pastor, as an evangelist, okay, and I'm just going to say as a believer, amen, you got to be mindful of the surroundings that are around you and what you allow yourself to get involved in. You are not, amen, you're not a thermometer. You are a thermostat. You are the one that's supposed to go in. I don't care if you walk into a room full of frigid folks who are spiritually dead, who need resuscitation. You are a thermostat. You are the one who determines the spiritual climate when God sends you into a place, and you got to understand your apostolic and prophetic authority that God has given you, and you got to begin to walk in it. And you got to go in with a mind that we ain't taking nothing less than change as a result. We're not looking for nothing less than that. Deliverance, change. Go into that place and prophesy a shift and a change in Jesus' name. This is the authority that the believers are supposed to be carrying, not just prophets, not just apostles, not just pastors and teachers. If you don't have no title, if you are a believer and you are carrying the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and you walk into a place, you are supposed to effectuate change in that place. That is what the power of God is for. It's not for taking up offering. And I came out of a church, and I ain't going to lie. I came out of a church as a young girl where some of these big wigs came out of, you know what I'm saying? And some of these folks think that God has anointed them to take up offerings. That is the most foolishness I've ever heard in my life. I've never seen that listed, amen, in the list of fivefold gifts, the anointing to take up offering. You know, it's ridiculous. What it is we have learned how to hype the people, and we have learned how to live off of hype, and we've learned how, you know what I'm saying, to get people to make decisions out of emotion instead of by them walking in the spirit. And so if I get you feeling good, you know what I'm saying, and you on the high, you know what I'm saying, and I start standing up and saying the right thing, then, you know, and I'm asking for an offering, and I'm saying the right thing, you know, there's a great likelihood that you're going to listen to what I'm saying, you know what I'm saying, and give me what I want. That's called manipulation. It's the spirit of witchcraft, and it's in the church. And we say it's all in the name of the Lord. I was in a service once where one of these big-name preachers was preaching, and they told the people to lock the door, told the ushers to lock the door during offering, because this person was determined that they was going to get whatever money they wanted to get. First of all, that's a federal offense. You're not finna hold me hostage so that I can empty out my pocketbook. The devil is a liar. This is the stuff we're talking about. Amen. God don't need you to abuse and mistreat his people. And we better believe there is a day of reckoning coming for all of these wonderful evangelists and prophets and apostles or whatever they might want to call themselves that have mistreated God's people and abused them, amen, and used them for the sake of finances. All we can see is the almighty dollar and not really having our focus on God. What is it that you want me to do in this city, in this town, in this place where you're calling me to? What is it that you want me to do when I get to this place? Who is it that you want me to reach? Lord, send them in off the street. No, we're not praying for God to send them in off the street because they ain't got no money who coming in off the street. We want them big ones. We want the millionaires in the audience. We want, you know what I'm saying, the thousandaires in the audience. When is the last time in our meetings that we ask God to send them in off the street? What is our focus? What is it that we are really believing God to do? You believe in God to put your name in light? Or are you believing in God that he is going to use you to effectuate change in the life of somebody who would have otherwise killed themselves or given up because they didn't have any hope until you got there? Amen. The anointing of God, amen, is a supernatural ability given to us by God in order for us to complete the task that God has assigned to our hand to do. Don't think that we are not replaceable. We are so replaceable. And believe me, the ground will close up and the space where we stood will be filled in no time at all. God does not need us like we think he needs us. He desires to use us. He desires that he would use us to get the glory out of our lives. But don't think that we are not replaceable because we are so replaceable. And if we don't get our spirit right, he will replace us. If we don't get the perspective right and do this thing and understand that we are the ones who have been bought with a price, we are the ones who are his slaves and his servants, and it is our desire, it should be our desire to fulfill the call of our life, and that we have a charge that we got to keep in this earth. We are here as his ambassadors to do what he's called us to do. And if we don't get that mindset, you better believe the replacements are coming. Amen. Because we have become merchandisers, promoters, big-time sellers of the anointing. That's why I'm even careful about saying, even when we have services, Well, I know that the Lord is going to show up. We believe in God that the Lord is going to meet us. Amen. We believe in God that the Lord is going to meet us in this service. We believe in God. Amen. I believe God. Amen. We're positioning ourselves so that the Lord can't come in. Who do we think we are that we're going to command the presence of God? We have gotten beside ourselves. We have walked in pride and arrogance, and we thought that we had power with God when we didn't have no power at all. Amen. But that's another teaching. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, so one of the biggest drawing cords to the false is that those that are anointed for one thing try to do what they have not been called, anointed, and appointed to do. A very important rule for you as a prophet or even just as a believer, okay, is this basic truth. 1 Corinthians 7:20, abide in your own calling. If we only walked where God called us to walk, that would keep down mass confusion and prevent dissension in the church. The very sad reality is that people today and in times past have been forcing themselves into places that God never called them to be. If we are to be an asset to the body of Christ, then we must remain in our own calling. If you're not the pastor, sit down and let the pastor pastor. If you are not the apostle, sit down and let the apostle apostle. Amen. If you're not the teacher, put your finger on your lip and let the teacher teach. Amen. Get in your own lane and stay in your own lane. This is what causes problems, because we have a desire and an ambition to be somewhere and to do something that God never told us to be and do. And then we say, Lord, bless this. God's not going to just bless what we want him to bless. It's got to be his if he's going to bless it. Amen. So if you are unsure of what it is exactly that you are called to do, find out. You need to pray. You need to seek God. You need to fast. And then you need to wait on God. Wait on God. Tell yourself, wait on God to reveal and confirm what your gifting is. And when he does reveal and confirm what your gifting is, you need to abide and live in that place that he's called you. And don't let nobody else move you out of that. And I say that because, you know, there are people a dime a dozen. And I don't get emails like this, you know, as often, because I guess, I don't know, people put the word out. I don't know. But I used to get emails all the time from people asking me, did the Lord tell you something about me? Did the Lord got a word? No, I don't even know you. What you mean, did the Lord give me a word for you? That's because we got Miss Cleo mentality that, you know, and even some of these websites that you go to, you know what I'm saying, that these people call themselves apostles and prophets, especially the prophetic websites. It makes me sick to my stomach. They got big old advertisements, merchandising, the anointing, talking about, do you want a word from God? Use PayPal and send us an offering. God is not pleased with that. You got your reward. That's your reward. Don't go to heaven looking for God to bless you with nothing, because you got paid here. And I'm not telling you that if you get a love offering for somebody blessing you, that God is not going to reward you when you get to heaven. But if you charge it for people to be able to receive what God has for them, which, first of all, don't come from you, come from God, and you charging them for something that's not even yours, you know what I'm saying? You do that, and you think God is going to bless you? I don't think so. Amen. Here, amen, on earth, they call that plagiarism, taking credit for something that's not your intellectual property. Prophecy is not your intellectual property. It belongs to God. The Bible says that prophecy, amen, is the testimony of Jesus Christ. So it's not even your testimony. It's God's testimony. And you trying to profit off of something that you can't do on your own, except God give you the ability. Hallelujah. Amen. now we want to talk about the age of Balaam. And this is definitely what we are living in, this time, and you know, of going to the highest bidder. You know, we have many preachers today that if you do not pay, you know, we had a function here not too long ago here in Fayetteville, where they had some of these gospel singers coming, you know, and one of them in particular was talking about she ain't, you know, they sent a limousine or something to come and pick her up. It wasn't the right color, so she wasn't getting in it. So she made them go get her another limousine before she got in it to go down to the Coliseum. Who are you serving? Is this for you or is this for God? God don't need no superstars. There's no superstars except Jesus. He's the one who needs to be lifted up. He said, and I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. He didn't say that if you lifted up, you can draw all the men. He said if he is lifted up, he's going to do the drawing. He's going to bring people to him. But we have got to get to the place where we understand that this is God's thing and not ours. All right, so we're talking about the age of Balaam. Let's look at Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5. Colossians chapter 3. Right, and we're going to look at verse 5. We want to get a good understanding of what it is that the Lord is saying to us and what he's requiring of us. Colossians 3 and 5. It says, mortify, therefore, your members, which are upon earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil, concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Now, we're getting to the root of the problem. Covetousness, which is idolatry. And the reason why we need to deal with covetousness and idolatry is because idolatry is the spirit that is in operation that is pushing these leaders to want things and money more than we want God. We have become a people who serves unrighteous mammon. Mammon has become our idol. Us, the believers, those who are supposed to be the blood washed, the blood bought, those who are called by the name of Jesus, we have turned ourselves out for money. And we say we blessed. And God wants me to be blessed. And the Lord wants me to have. Yes, he does. But he also wants somebody else to be blessed. And he does not want us going, amen, to the people of God and fleecing them and raping them and letting them pay their gas bill money to put it in the offering. God does not want us putting our rent money in the offering. God gets more glory out of you paying your bills than you putting your bill money in the offering plate. That don't glorify God, because then you got to get into, you got to, you know, crisis pray. Now you got to pray through your crisis of not having no money. And then you got to go to the same church that you just put that money in the offering and ask for it back. Because you're going to need help paying your light bill or your electric bill. It's not the will of God. Amen. And we tell the saints here, don't put your bill money in here. God gets the glory out of us paying our bills. The Bible says, oh, no man, nothing but to love. But we owe General Electric. We owe our landlord. We owe whoever the car note people are. We owe bills from one side of town to the other. And all because we didn't do our money right, all because we have the wrong focus with our finances, and we take our money and put it in the offering because some lying preacher told us that that's what God required of us. That's not what God requires. The Bible says, with all thy getting, get understanding. And then in Proverbs it says, wisdom is the principal thing. So if you want to get something from God, the first thing, the principal thing that you need to get is wisdom. Amen. All right, back to our book, to our text. Before we can really get into Christian, we need a crash course in idolatry. Yes, you heard it right, idolatry. What is it, and how do I know if I'm participating and encouraging idolatry? What is classified as idolatry? How do I avoid the trap of idolatry? This is idolatry, simply put. It implies a self-idolizing, grasping spirit. Far worse than any other Greek term translated the love of money, self and mammon are deified in the heart instead of God. So when we look at the love of money, we think that, you know what I'm saying, you know, when you look at the word, excuse me, when you look at the word idolatry, the love of money is idolatry. But deeper than that, idolatry is when you idolize yourself and you put mammon, you know what I'm saying, money. I don't care how I can get it, long as I can get it. When you put money on the throne of your heart and push God out, then you have engaged in idolatry. All right? Okay, and that's, that reference is from Matthew 6 and 24. Do you love yourself and your desires so much? You love your desires and yourself so much that you are willing to put your soul in jeopardy for it? Is it your desire to make it big? Is it so important to you that you will risk limb, loved one, and soul for it? You willing to put your soul in jeopardy just so that you can get on TBN? You willing to try every practice in the book just so that they can invite you to whatever kind of conference so that you can preach and sell your books and tapes? Is it that deep? It's just not that deep. It's just not that deep, saints. We have got to get a hold of ourselves. We have fallen into idolatry. We have fallen by the wayside because of mammon, because of our desire to have things, because we want. Amen. And even looking at that idolatry, it is a grasping spirit, always reaching out after something, always trying to get, always struggling to have. Amen. And I heard somebody say a long time ago, we struggle more to have than we do to be. What does that mean? That means we'll go through the struggles, break our necks, so that we can become big, so that we can accomplish our goals, finish school, you know what I'm saying, go somewhere, get our name in lights, get people to know us. But we don't struggle as hard and persevere as hard for us to become all that God has called us to become. We give up when the going gets tough. We give up when things don't pan out the way we want to. But in this walk, amen, if we find that there's something that we want, we're grasping at it, God promised me and I'm going to get it. We go after that thing with our whole heart and we don't let anything deter us from it. But when it comes to the things of God, we don't persevere. But we persevere after money. We get up out of bed sick, tired, beat down, and we'll go to work. But will we get out of bed sick, tired, and beat down to pray? Will we get out of bed to make our appointment, to keep our appointments with God? We need to think about it. We have become a people that is engrossed in idolatry, and we don't even know it. And that's a sad thing. It's one thing to be in sin and know it, or to be lost and know it. But it's something altogether different, and I would dare to say it's scary to be lost and not know it. That's a dangerous, dangerous place for us to be. And we need to, amen, we need to ask God to help us. All right, I want to give you a basic definition of idolatry. Idolatry is the worship of another god or of objects, symbols, people, accomplishments, concepts and ideals considered superior to that of the worshiper. Devotion and veneration given to representations of the same. Obeisance and subservience paid to a deity or objects and places governed by a false god. And what we don't understand is when we give in to idolatry, we begin to worship success, as they call it. When we begin to worship success, then what happens is success begins to be our god and our ruler. Success becomes our governor. Success becomes the thing that controls us. And that's what happened with Balaam. That's what happens. That's what happens with some leaders today. Their goal is success, and so they have to stay up on top of things. And so success becomes their governor. And because they don't want to accept anything less than success, then they become controlled by that spirit because they must get more. I must have more. I'm not satisfied with what I have. This is the same thing we're still talking about, merchandising the anointing. Because the way that we're going to get, you know what I'm saying, we're talking about getting things, the way that most church folks, most, because this spirit of the Hollywood and all that stuff have permeated into the church and has gotten down into the marrow of the church. It is so deep that every person that you know of, just about, when they start talking about going someplace preaching, they got to send you a rider. You gotta fill out a form. Well, how many people are going to be in the meeting? How did you send out any advertisement? What kind of advertisement did you send? What's the pastor's name? How many people are members of your church? All of this foolishness. Because we are successful. And successful people, this is what we do. We have to find out about the venue. We have to make sure that our name is going to be in light. I'm not telling you can't have tape ministry and all that stuff. We have tape ministry. But we're not going to put that above the people. Amen. And if somebody needs to hear that word and we got those tapes out there, man, we're going to give somebody some tapes. It's not about the dollar. What is your goal? What is it that you are after in God? Are you after him or are you after the benefits that he can offer? Amen. All this may sound irrational, but in this age of me, that is exactly what we're seeing take place. We don't preach to reach souls anymore. We preach to reach the elite. We have lost our drive for God and the things of God, and now we just want things. God's going to bless me with my house. He's going to bless me with a Lexus. Go to some of these saints. Go to some of their MySpace pages and look at all the cars in their photo section. Look at the houses. You know, some of them have been reading Bernard Jordan's book, and this man is a false prophet. And so if you're listening to Bernard Jordan, you need to know he's a false prophet. All right? He's got this book out, The Power of Thinking, which is nothing more than New Age paganism under the guise of Christianity. It's not Christianity. It's not the teachings of the Bible. It is paganism. Telling people that, you know what I'm saying, if you think on something long enough, it's going to gravitate to you. And he starts talking about the laws of attraction and all the rest of that stuff, that whatever it is that you think on will be attracted to you. Listen here. We already know that the Bible tells us that whatsoever a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. That's enough. I need to go on what the words say. I don't need to get his book to learn how to get a car, to get a house, to get a boat, and all the rest of that other stuff. We have lost the time. You know, we used to keep it simple. We just want to preach the word, and whatever God bless us with, thank you, Jesus. Now, we got name it, claim it, blab it and grab it, all these other kind of crazy things, all in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, I'll get back to the book. Thank you, Jesus. We will sell our souls to the highest bidder, or should I say, to him that pays the highest honorarium? What do you mean? Aren't I worth the money? Shouldn't I get what I'm worth? Well, now let's ponder that for a minute. What exactly are you worth? Ask yourself that question. What exactly am I worth? Ask yourself, is this my message I'm preaching, or is it God? Is this my gift that I'm exercising, or is it God? Is it my spirit that brings on the prophetic word and is able to bring deliverance, or is it God's spirit? Amen. That's something we need to ponder. Whose gift is it? How are we going to tell God how we want to use our gift? And where we're willing to go and where we're not willing to go? Who we're willing to preach to, who we're not willing to preach to? How are we going to tell God that? What are we going to say when we stand before him in judgment? When he asks us, why didn't we go? Lord, they wasn't going to give me no offering, so I know that you didn't want me to go there because you want me to be blessed. And the sad thing is that some people's mentality and thinking. It is God's gift. It is God's spirit, and you are God's servant. And the servant does not tell the master where he's going to go and where he's not going to go. The clay does not tell the potter, okay, I'm tired of you forming me now. Can you leave me alone? We got to get this thing right. Okay, so now don't take what I'm saying to you out of context. Let's look real quick at Luke chapter 9, verse 3. Luke 9 and 3. All right? Chapter 9. Let's see what the Word of God says. All righty. And he said unto them, take nothing for your journey, neither staves, nor scrip, neither bread, neither money, neither have two coats apiece. All right. 1 second. All right, let's go to Matthew. Let's go to the book of Matthew. All right. Devil been trying to fight with us with this stuff tonight, but we're going to get through this word tonight. All right. Matthew chapter 10, verses 5 through 15. All right, let's read this word. Matthew chapter 10. And it says, verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles and into any city of the Samaritans. Enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. Provide neither gold, nor silver, nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. And I read both of those on purpose because of the simple fact that I wanted to be able to contrast that. First, when Jesus sent them out, he told them, don't take nothing with you. You know, he said, the first time he said, take what you need. All right? And then he says to them, don't take anything with you, okay? Because when we start talking about mature ministry, if you really got it together, you believe in God. I'm not telling you to go somewhere and don't have a plan, okay? But the thing about it is, if you have a message and it's that important, you should be willing to go where you got to go, even if that means you got to pay your own way. And the bottom line is, either we want to see people delivered or we don't. Either it's about the money or it's about the soul. You know what I'm saying? And really, that's the whole purpose of the contrast, you know what I'm saying, that I'm showing you. Because you got to make up in your mind what it is that you want to do. You got to be willing to make your own way. Don't worry about, I got to have me a room at the Holiday Inn, and it's got to be a suite. We were going to invite somebody to come to our church, and that's what she said. You know, she wanted a king suite, and then she wanted a double room for her staff. Okay, first of all, who invited your staff? That's what I want to know. Who invited your staff to come, amen, to the church to minister? We didn't invite your staff. If your staff is coming, then you need to pay for your own staff to go somewhere. All of this Hollywood stuff, we got to get rid of this, saints. We got to be about our Father's business. We got to be concerned about souls and be concerned about seeing people healed, delivered, and set free. That's got to be our only goal. That's got to be what's on the forefront. If the Lord blesses you with some money, praise God. But don't let that be the only thing that you're out there for. Don't let it be that the only reason why you're trying to get open doors or you want to go through open doors is because you're trying to get paid. You know what I'm saying? You're trying to sell your books, your tapes, your CDs, and you're trying to get on TBN. Later for TBN, you got to get to heaven. You got to be able to, when you see God, that he can say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Amen. And so there are going to be times when we're going to be tempted to do things our own way and make our own way and, you know what I'm saying, try to do what other people are doing. But you got to understand, the Bible tells us when people walk in error and those things, they have their reward. Is it that we want our reward right now, or are we willing to wait and let God be the one who rewards us? He is a just God. He is just in his divvying of our reward. He is not unfaithful to forget our labor of love. He is not going to just see us, you know, giving of ourselves, and then, you know what I'm saying, we turn around and don't receive of him just reward for the labor that we have done for his kingdom. God is not like we are, and we got to remember that it's he that has called us. That's the whole purpose of this segment right here, is understanding that it is God that has called you. And there are going to be times where people want you to come and minister more than they have money in their pocket. And you got to be willing to go. You got to be willing to share what God has spoken to you. People are in need of deliverance, and they are tired of church as usual. They are tired of these shysters in the pulpit. They are tired of people waking them over the coals and trying to see how much they can get from them. Somebody wants true deliverance. And God, amen, is looking for somebody to stand up and preach the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help them God. Are you that woman? Are you that man that's willing to preach no matter if that means you got to pay your own way? You always try to say, you know, Lord, wherever you send me, that's where I'm going to go. Really? What if you don't get no offering? Are you still going to go? That's a good question. Let's look at Numbers 22, verses 7 through 11. Numbers chapter 22. Man, we almost done. Numbers 22. We're going to start at verse 7. And the Bible says, and the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the rewards of divination in their hands. And they came unto Balaam. Let's first of all look at the fact that they came already in their mind. They said, we want him to use his gift for what we want him to use his gift for. And you better believe there are people out there, there are churches out there, there are leaders out there that want to use you and want you to use the gift that God has given you for their own gain, so that they can have what they want. Amen. But you better know that this thing that God has given you, he has charged you, and he's holding you accountable for what you do with what he's put in you. Amen. Let's finish reading. And the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the rewards of divination in their hand. And they came unto Balaam and spake unto him the words of Balak. And he said unto them, lodge here this night, and I will bring you word again, as the Lord shall speak unto me. And the princes of Moab abode with Balaam. And God came unto Balaam and said, what are these men with thee? And Balaam said unto God, Balak the son of Zippor, king of Moab, have sent unto me, saying, behold, there is a people come out of Egypt, which covereth the face of the earth. Come now, curse me them. Peradventure I shall be able to overcome them and drive them out. Let's look at verse 12. And God said unto Balaam, thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. Verse 13. And Balaam rose up in the morning and said unto the princes of Balak, get ye to your land, for the Lord refuses to give me leave to go with you. And the princes of Moab rose up, and they went to Balak and said, Balaam refuses to come with us. And Balak sent again yet again more princes and more honorable than they. And they came to Balaam and said unto him, thus saith Balak the son of Zippor, let nothing, I pray thee, hinder thee from coming unto me. For I will promote thee unto very great honor, and I will do whatsoever thou sayest unto me. Come therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people. And the reason why we're using this here is because you need to understand that, and you have not reached the fullness of your potential yet. So you may not have people knocking your door down. You may not have people trying to manipulate you right now. But believe me, as God grows in you and as the Lord begins to use you, you are going to come in contact with people who want to try to corrupt the gifting of God that is in you. And you have got to have more stamina than Balaam. Balaam, amen, did not have the fortitude. He didn't have the spiritual gumption to stand flat and say, God said no, so I said no. And so because of that, he found himself in a trap. And so likewise, us as believers who are gifted and God is calling us and he's using us in these last days, you got to understand that there are going to be people that's going to come to try to trick you and try to use you and try to get you to be, you know, try to manipulate you to get you to say what they want you to say, especially if they find out that you can prophesy a word and it's right on. And you're going to be all too happy because you got an open door, but in their mind, in their heart, they have ulterior motives. You need to be able to hear God. And when God says no, you better say no. And the whole problem with Balaam was that he was a prophet for hire. The first thing we read in verse 7 is the fact that they came unto him with the rewards of divination. They knew that if they came with the right price, that he was going to do it. And you might say to yourself, well, I don't think that that's what happened because, you know, the Bible says that he got up and he told them that God said, no, I can't go with you. And God said that I can't curse those people. But guess what? He sent those princes back. Balak sent those princes back, and Balaam entertained them. The fact that he entertained them showed that he was enticed and he wanted the rewards that were being offered to him. What am I saying? I'm saying to you that what you see might really look good. The thing that whoever it is that might be offering to you, it might really look like, wow, okay, I could use that extra money. Yeah, you know what? That's just what I need right now. Whatever it is, it's going to be appealing or else it wouldn't really be a temptation. But you have got to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. You got to understand that it is the Lord who has called you. You got to understand that when God has given you a command as a man of God or a woman of God, you got to heed the things that God has told you to do. Balaam almost lost his life, and you need to read that chapter if you have not read it before. But Balaam almost lost his life, and his donkey, God had to give his donkey a voice in order for his life to be spared, because he wouldn't listen to God. Now, you know that that's bad, because first of all, donkeys have been characterized as stubborn. And you mean to tell me that his stubbornness surpassed that of a donkey, that he wouldn't even listen to God, and God had to use an animal who is generally stubborn by character to speak to him? That is a prophetic pattern that scares me. What is it that we're being stubborn with? Don't be stubborn. Don't be bullheaded. When God speaks to you, hear what the Lord is saying. Obey what God is telling you to do. Amen. We're going to skip down. Let's look at 1 John chapter 4 and 1. 1 John 4 and 1. Amen. And it says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone into the world. You got to understand, God is not telling you to try what's being said to you. He's telling you to try the spirit behind what's being said to you. It is important that you heed the call of God upon your life. Don't just go to the highest bidder. I don't care what they're offering you, people of God. You got to understand what God has charged you to do. And he's going to bring this word back to your remembrance when people try to put you on the spot so that they can, you know what I'm saying, try to merchandise the gift of God that's in you. Don't let nobody else merchandise the gift, and don't you merchandise the gift. Don't you let nobody tell you, oh, girl, you need to advertise. You need to advertise more. You need to, you know what I'm saying, you need to get your name out there. No. God didn't tell me I need to do no commercials. I believe that the Lord is, you know, I know that he's going to grow things and he's going to do what he want to do with the ministry, but I want it to be his hand. I don't want it to be my hand because I'll mess it up. If you try to do what you want to do, you'll mess it up. You'll miss God. You'll miss his plan. Let him do, you know what I'm saying, all the planning. Let God be the one who opened the doors. Don't you go trying to open doors. Don't you try to make no name for yourself. Let God promote you. Don't be tempted by promotion like Balaam was. You know, like Balak sent those men and said, listen, we're going to give you, promote you to a high place, and whatever you tell me to do, look, we're going to give you clout. We're going to give you power with the big boss. I don't care how much power you get with man. If you don't have no power with God, then you are powerless. And that's the bottom line. You can have power with man all you want to, but if you don't have no real power with God, then you don't have no real power. And that's the whole thing. We want to stay in line with God. We need to keep our eyes on Jesus. Don't allow ourselves to be tempted by these things in this world. Don't allow ourselves to be moved by these other things. You got to know that it is the Lord that has called you. He has called you with a holy calling, and his desire is for you to fulfill that call. And he wants you to be able to fulfill that call. He wants you to do it with integrity and with honor, giving glory to his name. But can God trust you? And that's the question that only you can answer. You got to be the one. You got to be the one to understand that God wants to be able to trust me with what he's given me. But the only way that I'm going to be able to pass this test is I got to keep my eyes on Jesus. My focus has to be him, my goals have to be him, and my foundation has to be in him. Not in myself, not in this world. This is what we have to do. Amen. I pray, amen. I'm going to pray right now and believe God with you. Amen. You can read the rest of this in your own time, the parts that we didn't cover. And also in the back of your book, you can read the little section that I put in there, the extra reading about apostolic teams. And I'm praying that you receive of the Lord and that you will go forth and be the people of God that the Lord is calling you to be. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your people right now. I thank you, God, for this teaching. I thank you, Lord God, for moving by your spirit. Now, God, I pray, God, that you would keep them, oh God, from this spirit, oh God, of idolatry that has permeated the church, that has come, oh God, and corrupted good leaders, oh God, that had great messages that you have given him, Lord God. And Father, I pray, God, that you would, Lord God, keep, oh God, these your people from temptation. You know the temptations that come, oh God, to corrupt your people, the things that come, oh God, Lord God, looking at money and houses and land and wealth and status and all those things. And Father, I pray that you keep them, oh God, and that, Father, Father, that they will look to you with all their heart, all their mind, all their strength, and that they not be moved, oh God, by the cares of this life, and that they not be able to be bought, oh God, by the people, oh God, in this life. And I just give you praise for it right now, God. I thank you right now, God, for all that you're going to do in them. Lord God, all that you're going to raise them up to do and how you're going to use them in this hour, I bless you, Lord, and I magnify you for it right now in the name of Jesus. And, Lord, I thank you for all that you're doing, oh God, even through this class. Thank you for bringing them through this class, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord God, for how you're using them, oh God, and how you're going to open doors for them in the name of Jesus. And I give you praise and honor and glory for it right now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.